You're listening to the Beyondcast, the official podcast of Beyond Student Ministries. Located in Seattle, Washington, we're all about faith, mission, and reality. Join us as we look at Jesus the Revolutionary in the Gospel of Luke.
Crazy. And I have Back to the Future too, which if anybody loves it, it's pretty amazing. Anyway, that's right. I get that. I actually get the opportunity to speak in front of you today. So hopefully I won't go on too many rants like that one, but I do like to rant. If you know me, you know I like to rant. And I like to do it a lot. But I just get to give the word to you guys today. So that's pretty cool. And hopefully I won't do so badly that I won't be allowed to come back. But before I go any farther, I need to give a shout out. I don't usually give shout outs because I'm not that cool. I'm a white boy. But I need to give a shout out to Jordan Brown back there. Yay, Jordan Brown. Woo! Holla! Yeah. If it weren't for Jordan Brown, I would literally have no hair up here right now. I am starting to lose it, but I would have none. It would just be gone. Because what I do, I'll admit, is pretty stressful on me, and if it weren't for Jordan, I'd pretty much be doing all of that and while I'm speaking, so it would be difficult. But anyway, on to my message tonight. The reasons I wanted to talk tonight were, during the summer, God's been working on my heart a lot just to step out and do more. He's just been kind of like working on it, fixing it up and stuff. And it, just during summer camp, which if you didn't go to summer camp, you really should next year, or, go to youth conference because it's great. Because I was originally just going to do sound there, but I got the opportunity to hang out with some cool people, myself. That was about it. No, I got to hang out with a couple of cool students, and it just made me realize that I wanted to do more. I didn't want to be stuck back there the whole time. So I just kind of decided that I wanted to step out in my faith, and it was cool because I don't know which night it was, but me and God just kind of had a conversation about this and saying, hey, if you want to step out, you should do? You should step out. That's right. So I'm stepping out. Yay. All right. Well, tonight, we are going to talk about Luke 13, 1 through 21. And I'll be honest, I was the one who chose the scripture because I was like, this is a cool scripture. It talks about sin and repentance. And, those are cool subjects, and I can relate to that. I can, I have a lot of experience in sin and repentance. But as I got into the scriptures a little more, I realized that it's not just about sin and repentance. It's about a lot more hard and difficult topics too. So I'm going to start tonight with a little disclaimer. All throughout like last week, I was just trying to figure out why I wanted to speak, what my speaking style to be like, my sermon style to be like, and I realized I wanted it to be a couple of things. I wanted it to be relevant to you guys. I wanted it to be related to me. I don't really remember the third one, something about something. But what I didn't want it to be was it to be me forcing my opinion down your throat. I didn't want it to be me going, this is what it is, blah, 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 blah. I wanted to talk about what I got out of it, and then hopefully you guys could read it along with me and just, gain your own opinion about it. So hopefully you'll understand that this is my disclaimer, that as I go through these scriptures, that this is what I got out of these scriptures, and this is what I think it's talking about, but you don't have to agree with me, so definitely read it yourself, gain your own opinion from it. But if you do care, you can gain some knowledge from me too, hopefully. All right. Oh, I gotta say one more thing. How many of you know that if you like God, he'll set you up? Does anybody know that? Anybody realize that? Yeah, God will set you up. So when I decided to talk about the scripture, you know what? God set me up. I think, you know, God's really cool, because I like to think of him as like the 10 times cooler version of Ashton Kutcher. Because to be quite honest, I really don't like Ashton Kutcher. He annoys me. He's just, he you know, he uses the word awesome a little too much. Right. But no. But the reason why I like, because I'll admit it, I've watched Punked, whatever it's called. I know. And I you know, that show, I like that show because it humiliates celebrities. But I always get disappointed because Ashton Kutcher is the host. He's the one who's like thinking up all these things. He's like, you know what would be great? I'd be like, no, I don't care. You suck. Sorry, I'm very bitter about Ashton Kutcher. But I think, you know, I can always see God kind of doing something like that. But I see God in kind of a different light. God would be more like a teacher doing that to you. Have you ever had a teacher who played a prank on you? Yeah, I have. But see, the way I imagine God would do it is like, God would be like a math teacher on your first day. And you like come in and he starts like teaching you English. And you're like, am I in the right class? And he's like, you know, and then all of a sudden he gets offended that you're in the wrong class. And he starts arguing with you about this, telling you need to pay for this class. And then, you know, all of a sudden you realize that this is a giant prank. But somehow you've learned algebra throughout all of this. You're like, what? I know algebra now? That's crazy. And that's what I like to think God's like. Because, you know, he sets you up. But he doesn't just set you up to be like, you know, that was really cool. Ha ha. I made Jeff look like a fool. No, if he's going to set up Jeff, he's going to set up Jeff so Jeff can learn something. If he sets up me, he's going to set me up so I can learn something. So when I was, you know, if you want to learn something from a scripture, just do a sermon. Just do a sermon. Because I was like, you know, all throughout like the week, you know, I had like a bunch of issues where I was just like, wow, that's God talking to me. That is something, you know, if I'm going to talk about this, then I need to work on that. And it was amazing. All right. So let's get into the scripture right now. So we're going to, if you have your Bibles, got to say that, just if you have your Bibles, open it up to Luke 13. It's the very beginning part, so it should be easy to find because it'd be a big 13. All right. It's kind of in the New Testament. All right, so we're going to go through verses 1 through 5. So if you have your Bibles, read along. All right. Now there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifice. Jesus answered, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish." Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam, ma'am, fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will perish. So this is kind of an interesting story here. So pretty much the premise, what's happening, is these people just come up to Jesus and they're like, hey, Jesus, did you hear about these guys? These guys, they were sacrificing to this God, they were sacrificing the Lord. And Pilate, this guy, this like ruler, came up and slaughtered them and then mixed the blood with those sacrifices. Isn't that just sinful? Aren't those guys just deplorable for what happened to them? Aren't they going to hell? And Jesus is funny because I like to think of Jesus as, in this scripture, as Hulk Jesus. You know, a lot of times Jesus is kind of portrayed as this like hippie Jesus who's like all lovey-dovey. But in this scripture, he's like, ah! You know, really mad. He's like turning green and ripping his robe. He's like, bah! And I've got a picture of what Hulk Jesus would look like. That's Hulk Jesus. That's right. And that's, you know, that's what he's doing here, because they're like, you know, pretty much what these people are doing is they're coming up to him and they're like, it's pretty much like gossip. They're like, hey, did you hear this? Did you hear this about these people? Yeah, I know. And Jesus is like, you fools. He's like, what right do you have to judge them? What right do you have to tell them that they are sinners when you too are sinners and you too need to repent? So Jesus is kind of, you know, it's funny because they're like, you know, I would just love to be the person who was like standing next to that, to the guy who said that. Because, you know, like, that guy's got to just be like, oh, you idiot. Like, oh, I'm going to step over here now as Jesus, you know, gets angry at you. Or, you know, or you'd be like pissing your pants because it's, you know, the ruler of, you know, everything. So you'd be like, you didn't just say that, did you? But so they're like, yeah, did you hear about that? And Jesus, you know, there, I mean, what else would Jesus say? It's like, oh, yeah, they are sinners. No, Jesus is like, you are an idiot, you know. It's kind of just like pointing it out. So, all right. Sorry, I like to skip around a lot. But, so I'll tell, what I got out of this, these verses were a couple of principles. Well, two principles to be precise. Judgment and repentance. And first off, we'll talk about a judgment. And, you know, throughout this whole thing, it's just like, I just see like a lot of like gossip, a lot of like, well, what about this? What about this kind of like thing? And Jesus is, you know, and all, throughout all of it, it's just a form of judgment. They're judging these other people. And Jesus is like going, what right do you have to judge? You know, and that's kind of my question tonight is like, what is judgment and why do we judge? I mean, you know, I got to go to this Cannon Beach, it was a Christian conference over last weekend. That's why I wasn't here last weekend, if any of you cared. Okay, thank you. All right. Well, it was an interesting conference. I mean, I learned some cool things, but like the way the service is set up is worship is reading a overhead slide while somebody directs you to stand up and sit down. And, you know, all throughout that, I was just like, this sucks, you know. I was like, I can't believe they think this is worship. But, you know, halfway through it, I was just like, Jesus just came down and was like, smack! He's like, you know, he's like, if you're going to talk about judgment, why are you judging other Christians right now? And I was like, sorry? But I like to whine a lot. I like to cry a lot. I'm a girl. Yeah, but yeah, so Jesus was just like, hey, if you're going to talk about judgment, don't judge. And that's kind of like the thing that, you know, I realized that even though I wasn't, you know, I wasn't trying to be judgmental, I just fell into the habit of being judgmental. And that's what I think happens to us a lot. We don't all, it's not, you know, he's not just talking about like harsh judgments here. It's not just like, hey, you know, I think he's talking about like judgments in general. I mean, just even the smallest of judgment can still be hurtful, can still be very harsh. And that's, you know, that's kind of the thing that I want to talk about. It's like, what right do we have to judge? Even those like little judgments that, you know, like, oh, Jeff looks foolish because he's wearing all black today. Pfft. Oh, sorry. But it's like, what right do I have to say that when I've worn all black before, you know? That's the thing. It's like, what right do we have to judge people's sin when we are sinners ourselves? We can't, you know, we can't just go, oh, that person sucks. But when you know, in actuality, we suck. It's true. I like to say sucks a lot. It's true. Hey, you. All right. And then my next thing is, you know what? I don't want to just be preaching at you because I'm not very good at that yet. So, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions that are rhetorical, but I want you to answer them anyways. Just if I ask a question, just be like, hey, I know the answer. All right. So my question is, do you guys think Jesus gets to judge us? Do you think Jesus has the right to judge us? I don't speak Spanish. So direct the answers in the form of English. but or Deutsch. I speak a little Deutsch. But if you said yes, guess what? You're correct, which is, this is also my first point. Jesus has every right because of his holiness. So what does that mean? That means first off that he's sinless. So, if you're holy, you're not just, kind of like, oh, I'm a really good dude, but I sin. No, he's sinless. So, yes. Nice job. So, he's sinless. That's right. So, that's getting into that. Have you guys heard the phrase, we all fall short, but for the grace of God? That's kind of what this is speaking about right here. If any of you cared to... You broke the Bible! Yes. Wait for the lightning strike. No, but that's what we're talking about. This is kind of like what this is saying. We all fall short. We all sin. But the only reason that we have redemption is because of the grace of God. Not because of us, not because of what we've done, but because of the grace of God. And that's also my second point. Way to go, Jordan. But that's also why we have no right to judge, is because we do fall short. We're always falling short. If we take the initiative, if we take it ourselves, we fall short. But if we let God take the initiative and we just kind of go with the flow, go with God, then, it's God's grace that will deliver us. So, it brings up another question is, what does he judge? A lot of people just think, oh, yeah, he's judging our sin against us. He's, because he's holy, he's going to judge us, and that means he's going to judge our sin. But, he does judge our sin, but he doesn't judge our sin against us. If he judged our sin against us, we'd all be screwed. Does anybody realize that? I mean, the amount of sin we have or we've gone through in our lives, there's pretty much, Jesus isn't going to be like, well, you've only sinned that much, so you're okay. Come on in. Oh, the rest of you, you got to go. Go away. No, what he judges is not our... All right, and the next point is he judges our sin, but not against us, but whether we are willing to submit to him. So he's not judging us for our sin. He's judging us whether or not we're willing to submit to him. You know what? So when you die and you go to heaven, Jesus isn't going to be like, oh, you're a sinner, go to hell. No, he's going to be like, all right, did you submit to me? Did you follow me? Did you believe in me? Okay, then you can come on in. Oh, you didn't? I'm sorry. You got to go. And that's what the thing is. And, a lot of people think that's kind of harsh. But, this is why that Cannon Beach conference was great. Because the speaker said this about that. People often think that that's kind of harsh, that, oh, Jesus is sending them to hell. But it's torment. It's not like torture. It's torment. So torment, for those of you who don't know what torment is it's torture that is allowed by ourselves. So torment is when we allow ourselves to be tortured. And that's the thing. It's like this is willingly happening to them. They're not like, oh, okay, I believe in Jesus now. I believe in Jesus now. No, they're still like... Jesus sucks still. He sent me to hell. They still don't want Jesus in their lives. They're still not willing to submit. And that's why they're going to hell. So that is why they're going to hell. All right. And the next thing I got from this is, Jesus is kind of cool because the way that, the Bible is kind of cool is because the same story can have many different like features, many different principles, and the same like they're not just gossiping, but they're also coming across this common misconception about God, that God will judge our sin, and the way we die, the way we live our life, is because of that sin. That's because he's judging us that way. He's going to punish us that way. You know what? That's not God. That's us punishing ourselves because we did the sin in the first place. So that's kind of like the thing. They're like, hey, God. They're like, hey, Jesus, these guys, they kind of died in a really bad way. So that must mean that God was punishing them, right? And Jesus is like, no, no. So, you know what, that's my next question is, do people always struggle from sin? Or do people's struggles always come from sin? And the answer is no. Sometimes we struggle because of reasons out of our control. I mean, you know, one of the most prominent, like, stories of this is Job. I don't know if any of you have read this, but Job is just this, like, righteous guy who's kind of, you know, who's just, you know, living for God, you know, kind of, he's not sinless, but he's just living for God. He's being righteous. And then the devil comes along and he's like, hey, how about this Job character? Or God, it's the other way around. God's like, hey, look at my friend Job here. He's really cool. He's really righteous. And the devil's like, well, I bet if you took away this, he wouldn't be righteous anymore. He wouldn't love you anymore. And you know what? He ends up like losing everything and becomes just like very sick, very poor, like vagrant, just living on the street. And his friends come up to him and they're like, you know what? He's like trying to, you know, get comfort. He's trying to tell him about his sin, not his sin, his struggles. And they're like, you know, the reason you're struggling is because you're sinning. If you would stop sinning and you would repent, then you wouldn't have struggles anymore. But that's not it. He wasn't struggling because he was sinning. He was struggling because the devil was doing this to him. And that's the thing that they didn't realize. And they kept just like trying to ram this into him. Like, hey, take this, take the, you know. And, you know, finally in the end, like, God's great. Because he comes back and he's like, all right. He's like, Job, listen to this. This is, you know, this is what I have to say about that. And Job's like, okay, I believe. And then, like, he goes to the friends and he's like, hey, because you did this, now you have to go repent through Job. So I think that's pretty cool. But ready for my next point. The reason we struggle is because we need to sometimes. So, I mean, that doesn't seem kind of, you're like, what? That doesn't seem right. But, you know, we don't always struggle because of our sins. Sometimes we have to struggle. Sometimes we just need to. I mean, I have struggled a lot in my life. And a lot of it has been from sin, but not all of it has been from sin. If you struggle, the main reason I'm going to say you struggle is to learn something from it. You know, there are other causes for struggle, but the main reason, you know, you struggle and succeed in your struggle is to learn from it. So that is like why, that's why I think we struggle sometimes, is to learn something from it. And you know what, I'm thankful that I get to struggle sometimes, not because of the struggle itself, but because I get to learn something from it. I get to gain something from it. And I think that is kind of a cool thing we get to do, which brings me to my next point. Sin causes struggles. Struggles aren't always caused by sin. So what that means is if you're going to sin, you got to be prepared for struggles. I mean, there's no way around it. If you sin, you struggle. But the thing is, it's not just, oh, because I sinned, you know, because I sin, I'm going to struggle, and because I'm struggling, I'm going to sin. No, you don't struggle always because of your sin, but you will struggle. This is really complicated. You don't always struggle from sin, but you will always struggle because of sin. Got that? All right, moving on. So, you know, I'm talking about struggles. I'm talking about judgment. You know what? And it's, you know, to judge is kind of a hard thing to not do. I mean, we do it a lot. We just kind of, you know, even when we're not expecting, we're just kind of like, oh, that was a judgment. But there is hope for all of these who are like, this is really down. You know, this is a doubter best kind of thing. But no, there's hope, and that is repentance. Repentance. But what is repentance? Does anybody care to give me the Bible version answer? I was waiting for the half answer. Stop it! Shh! Claire, it's Claire's turn. Yeah, see, that's what, like, and that, you know, I agree with that. Sin, you know, repentance is confessing our sin to turn away from it. But that's not the whole thing. And that's what people forget. It's like, oh, you know what? All right, Lord. All right, I know I did this, and I'm sorry, so I'm not going to do it anymore. And then they turn around, and there's more sin. They're like, hey, let's go sin over here now. And you know what? I'm guilty of doing this a lot. I'll be like, hey, Lord, I know I did this, and I did this, and I did this. I'm really sorry. You know what? I don't want to do it anymore. And I'm going to try and work on not doing it anymore. All right. Thank you, Lord. Hey, look, more sin. And you know, I just step in it again and again, and I'll turn around and step in some more. And that's the thing. It's like we got to realize what we're turning to. We don't just turn to more sin. We can't just turn and like face sin on our own. That doesn't work. It never works. What we have to turn to, this is the fact too, the hard but obvious. We need to turn to the Lord. That means we need to turn to Jesus. So, I mean, it means working with the Lord to let him rule over our lives, to take away our sin and to replace it with his holiness. Because if we just replace our sin with something from, some habit, something or another, you know what, it's always going to, that sin's always going to just creep back in and just kind of, you know, ruin us. But, and the reason I say it's hard but obvious is because you know what that means? It means reading your Bible. It means praying to the Lord. And it means doing that often. It means like every day just doing that over and over again, because you are going to sin over and over again. We need to keep doing that over and over again. Otherwise, we're just going to, you know, fall into this trap of sin, sin, sin. All right. So that brings us to our next little part in the scriptures, which is 6-9. So read along with me if you still got your Bibles open. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and I'll fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. So what is God talking about right here? Let me ask, does anybody catch Jason's message last week? No? No? Oh. No, were you here? Anybody listen to it? Yeah? All right, well, you probably talked. Well, it was a great message. And I wonder, you're probably wondering how I heard it. Well, I'll tell you, because of the BeyondCast podcast. That's right. Pantrib. What?
Oh. Eschatology.
Gosh. But yeah, it's like this relates back to Jason's message, which was it's talking about being ready to serve the Lord. You know, there's going to be a come a day where your life is going to be over. And at that day, do you want to look back and go, wow, I've wasted a lot of that? Or do you want to look back and go, hey, you know what, I may have wasted some of it, but there were some times where I was actually able to get something out of it. And that's what it's talking about here. It's like, you know what? You know, I was listening at Cannon Beach. There was this song it's a Switchfoot song that I was listening to over and over again, which was Gone, which, if you know, I'm not usually a big Switchfoot fan. I have a lot of their CDs, but I don't like to listen to it a lot because it's just kind of like, some of their, you know, just their sound just kind of is just not what I like. But this song is like for long. So that means, you know what, we don't have a lot of time on earth. You know what, heaven is eternal. We get to have an eternal life in heaven when we make it there. But life, earth, where our life now, it's not eternal. We don't get to spend, you know, we don't get to spend eternity here trying to help people. We don't get that time. And what, you know what, it's, you know what, you know. Like, so I'll just explain what this, like, what is this scripture talking about right here? Well, if you haven't guessed already, the tree is It's talking. It's like our life. The tree represents our life. It represents us. You know what? I read a lot of commentaries, and commentaries are a very interesting thing. But there is a lot of different opinions in commentaries. I read like 3 or 4 of them. They all were like different. It was just like the craziest thing. Like after I read all of them, I was just like, well, that was pointless. Now I'm just gonna try and get what I get. You know. And one of them was talking about, it was like, oh, well, the tree represents Israel and how Israel is going to reject God. And, you know, and then there's going to become a time where God's going to go, all right, well, the people who have submitted to me, all right, they're coming with me. The people who haven't, which is Israel, they're not. And you know what? That may be true, but that doesn't really apply to us. It's like, oh, So this, what I got out of it was the tree is our life. The tree is us. And you know what? You can take it a couple of ways. You can say, you know, God is the person who's, you know, is the guy who's going, hey, this tree doesn't have any fruit. Let's just cut it down. But no, the way I look at it is Jesus, God, is the gardener who's going, hey, you know, give it one more year. I'll try and do this. I'll try and do that. And then, you know what, if the year goes and we can't get anything out of it, all right, fine, we'll cut it down. But let's just try for one more year. Let's see that, and that, like right there, it just shows kind of like Jesus' love for even those who don't follow him, those who don't submit to him. He's just like, you know what, they're not following me. They're not submitting to me. They're not bearing fruit. But hey, why don't we give him one more year? But Jesus can't just give us one more year over and over again. We can't just be like, all right, here's what I'm going to do to get eternal life. I'm not going to do anything for anybody ever. And then Jesus, being the cool guy he is just going to give me a year and a year, and he's just going to keep adding on those years until I'll be immortal. It'll work. Trust me, it'll work. No, it's not going to work. All right, but the next question I got out of this is, do we as believers in Jesus have a greater responsibility than those who don't? Yes. I bolded that one too. Yes! Exclamation mark! That means you get angry. Well, not really. You just get loud. And like, yeah, we do have a greater responsibility. And what is that responsibility? To bear fruit. Yes. To bear fruit. So, and you know what? Does that mean that if we don't bear fruit that we're not going to go to heaven? No, I mean, if we're submitting to God, then we don't have, you know, God, it's not really a requirement to get into heaven. We don't have to, like, help others to get into heaven as long as we're following Jesus. But if we're following Jesus, we should be helping others anyway. I mean, it's not like, oh, I'm going to follow Jesus and just get the free ride now. No, Jesus is going to be like, you're going to fail. You're going to fail miserably. You know, sorry, it's true, though. But I mean, like, if you're just going to follow Jesus to be safe, to get into heaven, to get the free ride, you're going to fail. I'm sorry, but it's true. But that's the thing. It's like, you know what? We get the responsibility to bear fruit. And we shouldn't be looking at this as like, oh, this is, I have to bear fruit. Oh. No, you know what? You know what bearing fruit, what we have to do to bear fruit? It just means helping others. I mean, it's not like, oh, we got to save the world now. You know what? If you want to save the world, go right ahead. But you know what? If you want to try and save one of your friends, do that too. So that brings me into my next question, is if you were going to die tomorrow and you knew it, what would you do with the time you had left? I mean, I like to use this, I like to think about this a lot, because that way I'm always thinking about what I want to do with my life, who I want to help with my life. So I'm not just like, well, death, that's a long way off. I don't have to worry about that. No, I mean, even if it's a long way off, I can still think about it and I can still go, all right, you know, if I'm going to die tomorrow, this is what I'd like my life to have done. And you know what? Like, one of the things when I was thinking about this is like, you know what? If you think about it, it's really hard to kind of live your life like it's your last day. I mean, we say like all the time we should live our lives like it's the last, you know, our last day. And that, you know what? That's great, and you know, we should try and do that. But that is really, really hard to do. I mean, you know, a lot of us just like to go, you know, after a hard day's work, we like to go home and just like relax. And that's kind of the thing, is like, you know what, you can live your life like it's your last, but then you're just going to be working hard and working hard and working hard and working hard. Eventually, you're going to die sooner than you thought. But that doesn't mean that we don't have to work hard or that we should, you know, relax all the time. But it means that we can, you know, I can have a goal and not need to fulfill it tomorrow. You know, and I can have a goal that I'm working on for, you know, that you know, a goal that might be completed in like years to come. I can have that goal, and as long as I'm still working towards it, I'm still being useful to God. I'm still growing fruit. Because fruit doesn't just grow overnight. It's not like fruit. No, it takes quite a while to bear, you know, to bear fruit. So, and that, well, you know what? This isn't my notes, and a lot of the things I've been saying aren't in my notes. So, sorry if I'm like blah, 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 all over the place. But what I look at as fruit, blah, blah, blah. I like to make sound effects. I like to do that when nobody's listening to, because then I entertain myself. I mean, but what I look at as fruit is, you know, you can say there's a lot of ways, you know, there's a lot of different ways to bear fruit. But you know what? If you look about it, when we die, what do we get to take with us? I mean, we don't get to take our possessions. We don't get to take, you know, our feelings, our emotions, kind of like that. What do we get to take? We get to take the kind of like, what we can take with us or what lasts in this life or in heaven is relationships. And that's what I think bearing fruit is. It's like building those relationships and just loving on those people. You know what? You can just, to bear fruit, all you have to do is just be a friend to somebody and then just let them know that, hey, guess what? I believe in Jesus. You know what? And then you can start sharing with them, like, hey, you know what? I heard this interesting thing that Chris said, you know, or that Jason said. You probably won't say Chris. You probably say Jason. No. I did. But all right. So that brings me to the next section. This section I really love because this section is just full of difficult topic. All right. So Luke 13, 18 through 21. Sorry. Wow, I just completely... Oh, no. 10 through 18. There we go. Sorry, I wrote that like wrong in my notes. So it's like Luke 13, 18 through 21. I'm going to go over it twice. All right. But 10 through 17, or 10 through 18, we'll go on that. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not strain up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work. So come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound up for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. So this is just an example of Jesus kind of setting, you know, the synagogue rulers up. Because, you know, I was reading the commentaries, and one of the things it said about this section was that when Jesus would heal somebody who had like a demon, who was possessed by demons, he wouldn't generally touch them, not because he didn't want to, but just because he could just command them to get out with his voice. It was just like, "Be gone, spirit," and they'd be gone. But here he's like, "All right, you're free from your infirmity. I'm going to say this word again. I'm going to try. Infirmity. You're free. Yes. You're free from. So pretty much he's like, all right, the demons, they're gone. You're free now. You can stand up straight. You can walk. He could have just done that and been done. And everybody would have been like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then, you know, nothing would have happened. But Jesus is cool here because he kind of like just sets everybody up so that they'll start talking about it. So he lays hands on her, and he doesn't generally do that, but he just lays hands on her, kind of like, you know, it'd be funny. It'd be like, it'd be like Jason just standing up kind of and walking over to somebody and be like, all right, you're healed, really loudly. So everybody, and then I'd be like, you can't do that while I'm speaking. Don't do that. Rah! And that's what the synagogue ruler's doing. Like, you know, Jesus, like, you're healed. And, you know, the synagogue's rolling, like, you can't do that. This is a Sabbath. You can't heal on the Sabbath. But, like, Jesus is like, you hypocrites. Look at what you do. You untie your donkeys. You do this, you know, normal work just so that your donkeys can have water, your oxes can have water, so that they can have rest for a day. I am healing someone who's been afflicted for 18 years. And you know what? That just kind of brings me to my next question. It's, why are we hypocrites? And I know that sounds kind of like, you called me a hypocrite? You suck. But I mean, you know what? I'm not just calling you a hypocrite. I'm calling myself a hypocrite too. I am a hypocrite. I am one of the biggest hypocrites you will ever find. Shocking. Yeah, nobody cared. They all knew. It's like, yeah, whatever. And the reason why we are hypocrites is it all comes back to judgment. You know what? We're hypocrites because we judge and we have sin. When, you know what? I love that picture right there, because that is exactly what a hypocrite is. It's somebody who, you know what, will say something and then is completely different. You know, it's like when somebody judges you for something you've done wrong, and then they go and do something wrong themselves, that is a hypocrite. And that's what, you know, what Jesus is pointing out here. It's like, you know what, Jesus wasn't wrong to heal that person, but to be called wrong because he healed that person when they go and, you know, they'll do work just to let their donkeys get water, is a big form of hypocrisy. It's a big word, hypocrisy. But the question I have is, what is causing us to be hypocrites? Which is my next point. You know, and it doesn't just have to be judgment. It's, you know, it's a lot of things. I mean, it's sin. It can be pride. It can be our priorities. It can be a lot of things. So that's just the question I want to kind of throw out at you is, what is causing us to be hypocrites? What is causing you to be a hypocrite? You know what? Just, you know, not because I want to be like, oh, you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. Rah, 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 rah. Like I said, I like to make sound effects. But so you can just kind of like, so you can help yourself just be like, all right, you know what? Why am I a hypocrite? What do I need to work on? Because, you know what? That's what I'm constantly asking myself. It's like, what do I need to work on now? All right. So I've got, you know, I've dealt with this, and now what do I need to work on? Sorry, I'll speed it up. I'll be like one of those fast actors. Like, I like to make sound effects. I'm telling you, I like to make sound effects. All right. So my next point is, what right do we have to tell anybody how it is when we say one thing and do the other? And I'm not talking, I'm not talking about telling people about Jesus. I'm not going, don't do that because you're a hypocrite. Don't tell them about Jesus. Just, they'll figure it out on their own. No, what I'm saying here is, you know, you can tell them about Jesus, and you should. You should tell them about Jesus. But when they reject you, don't condemn them. Don't be like, you suck because you don't like Jesus. I like Jesus, but you don't. So I'm much better than you. Blah, 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 blah. Don't condemn them. Don't do that. Just love on them. If they reject you, if they go, hey, you know what, I don't like what you're saying, just be like, all right, is it still cool if I can, you know, just hang out with you, be your friend, love on you? You know, if they say yes, cool. But that's like, that's the thing. And I don't know what scripture or where he says it, but God's like, you know what? Even sinners love those who love them, you know, but what we have to do to, you know, get away from hypocrisy is we can't just love the people who love us back. We also need to love the people who hate us back. You know, that way we're not being hypocrites. That way we're working for Jesus. All right. So that was kind of my whole hypocrisy thing. I kind of went through that quickly because it's a tough subject. It's a tough subject. All right. Now to Luke 13, 18 through 21. So if you got your Bibles again, read along. All right. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? Is it like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his garden? It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air perched on its branches." Again he asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? Is it like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough?" So in reading this, this is one of the things that I also love about Jesus is, you know, sometimes I think Jesus just like picks a bunch of like items at random and then adds, you know, like puts them together and then gets this like coherent like parable out of it. You know, it's like, all right, so there's a brick, a computer, a light bulb, and drum set. And you're like, what? And then like at the end, you're like, that was the most profound thing ever. And that's kind of like the thing. It's like when I first read this, I was like, what? Mustard seed? And then, you know, I started reading it more. I started thinking about it. And I was like, whoa. That was a Jason. I just realized that I just did a Jason. That was a Jason. Whoa. Whoa. Sorry, I'm very proud of my first, like, real impression that's good. Because to be honest, none of the other ones are good. And, like, what I've gotten out of these, like, what I got out of these scriptures is it talks about, like, two things. And it's significance and sin. That's what I got out of it, so. But, like, you know, reading those commentaries again, again, it was talking about, like, Israel and how Israel is, like, it's like, you know, Israel is, like, the gardener who, you know, and in other versions of the Bible or other Bible versions, it doesn't say he planted the seed. It just kind of says he discarded it. He, like, threw it off, and then somehow a tree came up. And that's kind of, like, what they were talking about here is, like, all right, so Israel is the gardener and, you know, the seed is really like the Gentiles. But you know what? That's cool and all, and that's probably true. But again, it's got to relate to us. I mean, Jesus, you know, Jesus is cool because the reason he used parables wasn't just so it'd be like, all right, so 2,000 years ago, like a bunch of people, like, whoa, he's the most profound guy ever. And then, you know, take it 2,000 years into the future, like, well, that was kind of interesting history. No, he uses these parables to kind of, you know what, to trans time make your I don't know the word, but he uses it something or other transgenerationally. I just made that up, but yeah. But to tell people about, like, you know, these principles, these messages, and that's like the cool thing about Jesus, and that's why I think, like, he uses these, like, weird, like, analogies sometimes. But you know, he's not just talking to them 2,000 years ago. He's talking to us when he said that. And, like, the first thing I get out of this is, like, significance. So what he's talking about is, you know, what he's saying is, to relate back to that fig tree, even the smallest of fruit can save a great number of people from hunger. You know, like, they're, like, if you think about it, like, most fruit has, like, seeds in the fruit. And even if you eat that apple and you chuck it on the ground, you know, maybe you chucked it into dirt, because we don't have, like, a lot of dirt around. So if you chucked it on the ground, it'd just rot, you know. But, like, back then, there weren't a lot of, you know, there isn't a lot of carpeting and cement and all that. So, like, if you were to, you know, if you eat it, you just discard it, it's probably going to grow a tree. And that's the thing. It's like, you know what? You can grow a tree from a fruit, from a, you know, a, an apple, from this small little seed. That's why I got that seed up there. Because that seed could turn into a tree someday. That, you know what? And that's like, that's, you know, kind of, you know, that's the thing that he's talking about here, is like, you don't have to be afraid to step out to help people to bear fruit, because even the smallest of acts, so God can use even our smallest acts of faith to do great things. So even our smallest, thanks for that nice one, Jordan. So even our smallest acts can do great things. I mean, so like, don't be discouraged by like, oh, well, I'm not really doing anything. When you're going to your friends and you're going, you know, if you're loving on your friends and you're trying to tell them about Jesus, don't get discouraged. I mean, you don't have to be like constantly telling them about Jesus. Be like, Jesus. Because then they're not really going to be, you know, they might not want to be your friends anymore if you keep like, but you know what, if you're just like, hey, you know what, at church, you know what, I heard a really interesting thing, or I, you know, I did this at church yesterday. And they'll be like, oh, you go to church, do you? And be like, yeah, I go to church. I believe in Jesus. If you ever want to come to me about something, about Jesus, I'd be more than willing to. You know, it could be as simple as that. You don't have to be like, all right, I believe in Jesus, so now I need to save you. No, you could be like, all right, I believe in Jesus, and then just walk off. And you know what? If it's God's will, that person will walk after you and be like, hey, what about this about Jesus? You know, and you can be like, hey, glad you asked. All right, the next thing like I kind of see in this is like, I like to use that version of like the gardener just kind of like discarding this, like the seed, like he just wastefully like throws it away, because that's kind of like, you know what, God, I don't know if you know this, but God is going to use us whether we're willing to or not. I know that's kind of like, oh, he's going to use us. Well, no, God isn't going to like use us and like throw us away. God loves us. But God, he uses every chance he can to just help people. And that's that's like the question. It's the question is not whether whether you are willing. The question is, how willing are you? I mean, because even the smallest of acts can do great things, but that doesn't mean that we have to start off small. That means we can start off trying to do great things. All right. So this is also brings me to, you know what, in this scripture, I also, you know, I don't just see like, I don't see Jesus just talking about like small acts or, you know, steps of faith. I also see Jesus kind of in this like second one talking about like sin in our lives. You know what, like, again, reading the commentary, like that, you know what, when you add yeast to flour, it kind of spreads throughout the whole thing. So it's not just this little bit of flour is contaminated. So like in Jewish tradition, they're not allowed yeast. They're not supposed to eat yeast or something like that, I think. So, like, when something like that. I don't really know. I'm not a Jewish person. That's true. But, like, when you add yeast to flour, it ruins all of the flour. It doesn't just ruin a little bit. It ruins all of it. And that's what that's, like, kind of like what I see sin as. I mean, even the smallest of sin can become our master. That's right. Right. That's deep. I think I stole it from somebody, but that's deep. So what does that mean? It means guarding ourselves from, you know, these small acts of sin. It means, you know what, next time you're like, you know, you're ready to take a quarter, you know, from somebody else, realize that that's stealing, that's sin. Realize that, you know what, even the smallest acts can become our masters. You know, and so the other thing I want you to remember is, even though I've talked about a lot of like, you know, kind of tough issues that kind of, you know, kind of get, you know, can get you down. It's like judgment, but we always judge, you know, or hypocrisy, or you know, kind of always hypocrites or sin. You know, we kind of always sin. Well, there is hope. There's always hope. And that's the other thing I've talked about tonight, and that's repentance. You know what? Even when we do all this, we still have the chance, you know, to come back to Jesus and go, all right, you know what, I know I've failed again, but Jesus, I want to try over again. I want to try again. But the other thing I want to talk about tonight, and this is kind of like what God's been putting on my heart, and this is kind of why I think God set me up this week, is because I realized that, you know what, in this little bit right here, God's not just talking about sin. He's talking about addiction. I mean, we sometimes, you know, we sometimes carelessly do something. Like, you know, we just sometimes carelessly do something, and it leads to this addiction in our lives. And, you know, and I want to be clear on what addiction is. So I got this nifty definition from dictionary.com. And addiction is the state of being enslaved to a habit or practice or to something that is psychologically and physically habit-forming as narcotics to such an extent that it is something that causes severe trauma. I don't know what that word is, but probably it's emphasizing causes. But that's the thing. It's like, you know what? Oftentimes what we do is we interchange habit and addiction. You know what? And I think that's the thing. You know what? Habit is like, you know what? It's like playing your video games. Like, you know what? You can like playing video games and you could do it a lot, but that's not necessarily an addiction. It can become an addiction, but that's not necessarily an addiction. An addiction is something that controls us. It's like if you're playing video games instead of like reading the Bible, or you're playing video games instead of you're doing your homework, or instead of hanging out with friends or doing all this, that's an addiction. That's like, and that's that's, you know, this is a thing that's kind of put on my heart. I've been, you know, just like, you know, I've seen countless, like, you know, examples of just kind of addiction, just kind of leading us into this kind of trauma, this kind of, you know, just these struggles. And it, you know, God's just putting it on my heart. And, you know, I wore this shirt today. I really like this shirt. It's kind of tight, but I like the shirt. It's, I mean tight as in, like, form-fitting, not tight as in, like, the white boy version of, like, really cool. But this, it's XXXchurch.com, and if you don't know what this website about is about, it's about helping people with their addiction to pornography. And you know what? I wore this shirt today because I wanted to bring this up. You know what? It's just kind of like a thing that's, you know what? I just talked about hypocrisy and judgment, and you know, XXXChurch has a podcast, a video podcast. It's one of the things I went like crazy with and got. But like one of the things was like this ABC special where the pastors who made XXXChurch.com, they went to like this porn like expo. Yeah, they went to like the porn expo, and they handed out Bibles just to people at this porn expo. And the Bible, which I think is kind of really funny and really cool, the Bible on it said, Jesus loves a porn star. Or Jesus loves porn stars. That's what it said. Jesus loves porn stars. And it was funny because this special is all about, you know, it was talking about that, but it was also a lot of like churches, a lot of like Bible, you know, companies that print Bibles had concern with this. You know, like they were like getting upset because, oh, this is God, you know. And it's like, you know what, this is just kind of like one of these judgments that like often you'll face in the church, because we're not free from judgment. We always judge. I mean, even in the church. But like that's the thing that I find that's kind of really irritates me, is when we judge other Christians. And that's the thing that I was doing right there. It was like, you know what? Would Jesus not love a porn star? Would he be like, all right, murderers, rapists, let's see, you know, burglars, killers, all that. I think I love you, but porn stars, you take off your clothes. No. I'm not okay with that. Everything else, you know, I'm not saying Jesus is okay with, like, murdering people. That's not my message. No, but Jesus still loves you in spite of that. Jesus still loves this porn star in spite of that. And you know what? That's kind of like the thing that I just wanted to, you know what, I want to leave you with tonight. It's just, you know what? Just don't let your judgment cause you to fail. Don't let it cause you to fail. So that is pretty much all I had to speak on. I know I kind of went long because I like to ramble. I like to rant. But hopefully you guys got something out of this. Hopefully you guys will allow me to come back sometime and speak again. I am getting better. All right, so let me just close in prayer and then we will be done. All right. So everybody, don't look at me. You're not that far gone. This could be your big chance to make up. Today will soon be gone. Like yesterday.